Dynasty Refinery Podcast, your home of in-depth dynasty analysis with your host, Michael Royer, and co-host, Jared Fox. Prepare for content to drop in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Dynasty Refinery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. Joining me as always is the romantic Jared Fox. How you doing today?
Feeling very romantic.
Well, this is our Valentine's Day episode, you know, and while a lot of people give their, you know, they give their significant others flowers and candies, we're going to drop some dimes and some wisdom on them for some Dynasty rookie picks. How's that sound?
That sounds amazing.
It does. It
sounds like the best Valentine's ever, man.
So I'm going to talk about my Valentine's crush right now, and that's Cam Akers, you know, and it very well might have been Etienne or Chuba here, but right now Akers is the guy that I'm kind of crushing on here a little bit after you get past those top three running backs. To me, I think he's one of the most overlooked running backs in this 2020 class. 5'11", 212 pounds, you know, coming from Florida State. Obviously, they had some struggles, but he only turns 21 in June, so he's still young. Coming off a very productive season considering the offensive line play. 230 carries, 144 yards would be a pretty bad season.
That'd be pretty horrible.
That's like half a yard a carry.
It'd be a pretty good game. But
14 touchdowns, and he caught 30 balls this season, which was, you know, an uptick with 225 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think he's a great downhill runner. With he has very good anticipation skills. You know, he feels when the defenders are coming. He makes very good moves. I feel like he has a real bounce to his step. He's a guy that really just has dynamic playmaking ability once he gets past that first level. You know, I feel like he's got the ability to make defenders miss. He's got that home run threat to take it the entire way. I think he has great cutting ability. You know, he, in the open field, he can make guys miss quite easily. This year, he's coming off, obviously, absolutely poor offensive line play. Play calling that didn't really get him involved, which I know a lot of people have said that, you know, they look at it as him possibly having negative vision. It just appears that he had to take things to the outside and try to create things. And I know a lot of times with running backs, you know, and he knew he was coming out no matter what. You know, he had a great sophomore season, but after this year, he was coming out no matter what. Wanted to flash, and I feel like sometimes really tried to press and make things happen that weren't there. Better offensive line play, you know, better play calling, getting him utilized, I feel like is going to really help him in the next level. He's a consistent pass catcher, but that's one of the areas that he can continue to grow on as well. He was underused in college. You know, they did not throw him 30 passes. That's not bad, but on that offense, he should have just been the focal point. He should have been, everything should have been funneled through him. What's super impressive to me about him and what I really love is just his ability to shake defenders, break tackles. You know, before, you know, all the bowls started and everything like that, he had the number one, you know, broken and most amount of broken tackles, the best juke rate. You know, he did really well there towards the end.
And so he's David Montgomery from last year.
Ooh, wait, let me talk about my crush. I'm not going to knock on yours right away, but yeah, you know, he really coming in as a college freshman, number two running back in the entire class, a five-star recruit. The sky was the limit, you know, and everybody was taking Cam Akers in Devy drafts. You know, he was going 101, 102, and he was the prize of this running back class at one point. You know, everybody was talking about Cam Akers. And last year, you know, he fell down a little bit more. And now I feel like he's becoming a buy where he's probably going in a super flex, probably in that 108 to 110 range. I feel like in a one quarterback league, probably 106, 107. But he has a high ceiling. My comp for him is Mark Ingram. You know, he's a great downhill runner, and I hope that he lands in a spot where he has a 1A, where he's the 1B to start out. You know, I feel like he has some learning to do. We talked about the vision. We talked about the pass protection a little bit. He has playmaking ability, but he's not going to be the guy that you want to be a absolute bell cow right off the bat. Well, if he comes in and has that Alvin Kamara to his game, or who was it in the beginning with in New Orleans? Was it, you know, he had Pierre Thomas and guys like that. If Mark Ingram, if he has the same career trajectory as Mark Ingram, I feel like he has a very similar ceiling to that. He comes into the right spot. He'll probably be a third-round pick in the NFL draft by my estimation. If he gets in the right situation and he can groom for a year and then have to fill in or really show what he's got, he could be a great pick in your rookie draft.
Comparing him to the Heisman winner.
Well,
with
Cam, skill set.
With Cam Akers, another thing I'd like to point out is that he's a guy that's really going to fluctuate with landing spot. When we talk about him, after the draft happens, it could be a lot different. Because if he lands in a spot with extreme upside, like let's just say he's the running back.
You're gonna say Kansas City?
Kansas City or Tampa Bay or somewhere like that takes a place with a lot of upside, then people are going to be very high on him. He could be up to a mid-first round pick. Say he goes somewhere where they already have running backs, that there isn't quite as much upside in the landing spot, he could be a mid-second. So I think there's a lot of room for him to move up and down. But yeah, he's going to be a very interesting, especially because he's probably the top of the second tier of running backs. He's right around that area after you drop off from like Dobbins and Taylor. Then we don't have like Chuba and stuff anymore. Like our transition guys that had before.
It's fallen off quite a bit. Gone from it's Akers and Edwards-Helaire, and then it falls off to, guys that I none of them break into the first round unless something bizarre happens. And I don't really have a ton of I haven't dove into the tape too much in Moss and some of those other guys, but they're not flashy. Both Edwards-Helaire and Akers have an opportunity. They could be starting running backs in the league. They could be mid RB2s, and Akers, I think, has an ability to be in that RB1 status at some point, but not early on in his career. He is young. He could develop, but I think you're right. Obviously Dobbins and Taylor and Swift, they're in your top five no matter what. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where they go, And if somebody does fades them because of a bad landing spot, go get them. But Akers is a guy that's probably going to have to go, obviously, after, the three quarterbacks. If you tend to like Herbert, he'll definitely go after the two wide receivers, and he's going to go after the three big running backs. But if he goes in the wrong spot, or some of these other guys like Higgins or Ruggs go into the right spot, Akers is going to fall back and trust your tape, see where things go. I think he's going to perform really well at the combine. He was just an absolute monster when it came to, weightlifting and his speed. I feel like he's probably going to be in that 4.4, 4.5 range for sure. And he's an athletic running back that has all the tools to be a good player in this league.
I agree, Mike.
Who's your crush?
My crush, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, is Sir Jordan Love.
He's been knighted.
I don't know. I thought it sounded sexier when I said it that way. I didn't say it with an erection like you would, Mike, but
that was the last episode.
Never gonna let you live that down. Okay. So, anyway, starting off with Jordan Love, there's a little bit of mystery around him. This year, if you look at his stats, you're looking at 3,402 passing yards. Isn't too flashy. 20 TDs, not too flashy. 17 interceptions, which is downright bad. And a 61.9 completion percentage, which is modest. Not bad, but modest, okay? Especially in college, because, some of these elite quarterbacks that come out, dude, the numbers they put up in college are just ridiculous. Like, look at what Burrow did this year. Look at what Haskins did last year, and he's not even good. But there was a little bit more promise in his sophomore campaign. People don't realize, but last year he actually did have a better year. He had 3,500, almost 3,600 passing yards, 32 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, and a 64% completion rating, which is actually really good. And that's why people were really excited about him. They thought coming into his junior year here, he was going to step it up, and he was probably ranked above guys like Joe Burrow and stuff before last year, but it's a little bit of mystery what happened there. He doesn't play for the best wide receiver core, I guess I should say, in college. But he's your typical prototypical size when it comes to a quarterback, 6'4", 225 pounds. So that's pretty much perfect in that category. Another thing that people like to say about him is that he has phenomenal tools, and like he just flashes brilliance all the time when it comes to dropping in deep balls, as well as the zip that he puts on his balls when to make any throw in the, like at any part of the field, pretty much, whether he's throwing it short, he's going deep, in the second level, he knows how to put zip in his passes and not let the ball hang. That's a very important trait to have as an NFL quarterback. And I think that's what shows so much promise in him. And that's why people are so excited about him, because he shows those raw tools to be an NFL quarterback. Now, he does need some refining. You like that? That's So he does need some refining. He definitely needs to work on his decisiveness, making better choices. I mean, 17 interceptions, that pretty much speaks for itself there. Yeah. He needs to work on that. It's hard to say what happened there, but I'm just going to jump right into a comp. I mean, a guy that we were kind of that had a lot of mystery surrounding him last year was Daniel Jones. You know, his numbers and stuff, but you knew that he looked like an NFL quarterback. He was the right size. He had the right swagger, as you would say, which I still don't know what that means, but I feel like Daniel Jones has it. Does he have it?
He's got the swag.
He's got the swag.
I mean, he looks like Eli Manning, so we weren't quite sure if he had it. But.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, but, you know, the guy needs to work on his mechanics and everything. But if we're competent, look who also had a very good sophomore campaign, dropped off his junior year, was Drew Locke. And we all know how good Drew Locke's looking now. It happens. I don't know if he was dealing with injuries or what, and there's a lot of mystery surrounding him. He's one guy that I don't want to dive in too deep on him yet until I see where he goes in the draft, and I'll tell you why. Because if he goes in the second round, I'm going to think very differently of him than if he goes early first, because I'm seeing mocks all over the damn place right now, and like some of the mocks that put him as like a like borderline top 15 pick or whatever. Like if he goes top 15, you got to take him seriously. Mm-hmm. And depending on where he goes as well, I'm hearing a lot of Tampa Bay. I'm hearing the Colts might be interested in him. And there's some systems that it's like, you just know if he's there and he's going to be throwing him up, he might put up numbers. I mean, look at Winston. He set the record this year for interceptions, but he was still like the QB. He was top five, you know, in fantasy. And so
Winston had the pedigree coming in. But I mean, the thing that I think that we both agree on here is obviously he checks all the boxes of what a quarterback should look like. He has great physical characteristics. He has great physical attributes. You know, the guy can make every throw from different arm angles. He's prototypical size. His athleticism, you know, I don't know if you have his rushing stats there, but I mean, his athleticism and his ability to run the ball.
170 yards rushing this year.
But he can make all the plays. You know, he can do things.
He gets out of the pocket with his feet. Yeah.
And he sits in the pocket really well as well. I mean, I've noticed when I was watching some tape that he's in there willing to take the hits, but he knows when to slide out, you know, and he has good pocket presence.
He knows how to take that hit, but
exactly.
He also knows how to slide out, unlike Phillip Rivers.
Yes. But I mean, I think the difference here is his decision making he has great tools, but he needs to work on his, you know, his decision making. He needs to work on becoming an NFL quarterback. He is the most raw out of these guys. I mean, if you want a guy to come in and play right off the bat, he's probably not your best bet, you know. And I don't necessarily think he's more talented than your, you know, Eason or Fromm or Hurt. I think he's more talented than them, but I think he's going to take some grooming. You know, if somebody tries to throw him out there year one, like Washington did at one point with Haskins, I think he's going to struggle with it. And if he gets to the right spot where he can be groomed behind, and this is a good year for this, you know, with Dalton and Rivers and Brady and all these quarterbacks just up in the air. If you could take Andy Dalton and bridge him, or Phillip Rivers and bridge him, maybe the Colts take Love, you know, and I think I would love that situation. Have Rivers come in there for a year, or even let Brissett play for a year and let him get it under there. He's very polarizing right now with where he's going in drafts. You know, I just did a 4-person rookie mock draft with a couple of guys at Dynasty Happy Hour, and I got him at pick 23 in a super flex. Wow. I mean, that would be a steal. I think in our rookie mock, I believe you might have taken him 203, 204, something like that.
Yeah.
And he might creep, if he goes in the first round of the NFL draft, he might creep up into that late first. You know, the guy that is also polarizing at the quarterback position is Herbert. You know, a lot of people, I think Herbert's this year's Josh Allen, or, you know, a guy that we're just going to, or Daniel Jones that we're going to fade out, even though the signs have showed he can be a good quarterback. So Jordan Love's a guy that is going to, you know, be all over the place, but I feel like the sky is, I mean, not the sky's the limit, but he has elite potential and could be a solid QB2 in this league.
Right. And another thing that I saw that I had written down was about how he does seem to stare down receivers a lot, and that made him very readable in college. So that he definitely needs to fix, because it's only going to get worse in the NFL if he can't correct that. Matt might have had contributed to having so many interceptions, but he's also not afraid to throw the ball up. And yeah. I mean, how many coaches love to see a guy who isn't afraid to throw the ball up and make those plays?
You said something about Jameis. He was almost aggressive to a fault. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He wanted to make plays. And I feel like when guys know they're going into the NFL, they want to make flashy plays. They want to look, you know, they want to have that highlight tape. And just there's a lot of accuracy problems there, plenty of misfires, but plenty of tools to get the job done. So thank you for listening to our Rookie Spotlight Valentine Edition. You know, keep rising and refining those dynasty rosters, and look forward to some more rookie content coming your way soon.